Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11, Galatians chapter 2, and Acts chapter 15 tonight. All right, so we're going to need to be in all those places. It's all encompassing the same, basically the same story. The text is going to be out of Galatians chapter 2, and we're actually not going to spend time there till about the middle of the message. If I preach for an hour and then we turn there, then you know we're in the middle of the message, all right? And you got another hour after that. Some of you are like, oh no, you don't say that kind of thing when there's visitors around. I'm jesting a little. But we'll be in Acts 10, Acts 11, Acts 15, Galatians chapter 2. The Lord led this way, and I'm not sure why, but we preached about Peter this morning. We'll reference that here in just a little bit, and we're there again tonight, and just later on in life, and another lesson to be learned. So, if you say, which one are we reading out of? We'll read out of Galatians 2 to start with. So if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, if you're able to, we'll read Galatians chapter 2 this morning, this evening. I'm so confused, I don't even know if it's where I'm up or down, if it's morning or evening, but Galatians chapter 2 is where we're at right now. And we'll begin in verse 11. This is Paul talking, writing to the church of Galatia. But when Peter was come to Antioch, and we know Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with Gentiles. He's saying before these people showed up, he was eating with Gentiles. But when they were come, or after they showed up, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of circumcision. Talking about the Jews. He was afraid of the Jews. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. The Jews that would have already been there. Insomuch that Barnabas also, we know a lot about Barnabas. Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, and we know God's word is inspired by God. Amen. Paul wrote these words inspired by God. And so while it might be a surprise for us to read these things that Paul had to correct Peter and Barnabas, he did so. And this isn't Paul's opinion here. God isn't leaving us to discern, is Paul judging rightly or not? I mean, when he's inspired by God to write, when I saw that they walked not uprightly, that means that they walked not uprightly. According to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles. You're not living according to the law, right, Peter? You're living according to the manner, you're living after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So we'll get into it. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need you tonight, and I pray you'd help me to say the words that need to be said tonight, and help us to open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us, and that you'd be pleased through everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much. You can be seated. So this morning we spent some time talking about the fact that Peter had to come to the realization that he can't stand on his own without Christ. And that was kind of the idea that we were getting across. I can't do it without Jesus. I can't do it without God. I can't do this without him. Even though Peter had good intentions, and he did have good intentions, even though he said that he would stand with Christ, he would not deny Christ, he would go to prison with Christ, he would even go to death with Christ, obviously, and Jesus corrected him right there, and he said, no, actually, you're going to deny me three times. When the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And Peter said, not so. And not a good idea to correct Jesus or think that he's wrong. And we found out that Peter was wrong and Jesus was right. And he wept bitterly. And then we talked at the end of the message about his restoration briefly. We didn't spend a lot of time there, but about Peter just being corrected and getting right and restoring that fellowship with Jesus, and then Peter being used of God. But his learning didn't stop there, as neither does ours, right? But we've never arrived. We will never arrive until we arrive in heaven. Amen? And we ought to always be teachable. Ought to always be humble, ought to always be submissive to the leadership of God's Word and the authority of God's Word. Part of that instruction in Hebrews 13, where the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. That word, submit yourselves, has to do with being teachable. And teachable to who? Well, it says, to them that have the rule over you, to who God appointed as those that would have the biblical authority there. And our authority is the Word of God. Do you agree? That is where it's at. And Paul addressed Peter, and Peter needed to submit to the authority of the Word of God. Even as one of the leaders of the early church and a powerful preacher of God's Word, Peter was in need of correction. We find Paul challenging Peter in his conduct towards fellow believers. So as we go through this, we're going to kind of go through the story and just try to put ourselves in the shoes of the people that are there as we go along. We'll hit some application along the way. I think most of it's going to be towards the end. But let's just try to feel what's happening here and have an understanding of the background, the context of what's going on. So it might make a little more sense to us so we can apply it properly in our lives, for sure. In Acts chapter 10, we'll reference some verses there. If you go to Acts chapter 10 and look at verse 1, we'll come back to Galatians chapter 2 here, like I said, later on. But go to Acts, if you would. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And verses 1 through 48, we're not going to read all these verses for sake of time, but we find a story of what's going on in Peter's life. It says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God. Verse 3 says he saw in a vision. And then in verse 9, it tells us of a vision that God had given Peter. So what was this all about? As we begin to look at this in Galatians 2, it's important. As we begin to look at this situation in Galatians 2 where Paul has to rebuke Peter, it's important for us to understand what happened before that. And in Acts chapter 10, we see some things about what God was doing, what God wanted Peter to do. I mean, Peter was a man, I mean, one might say, off to a good and obedient start after Jesus died and resurrected. And Jesus said to Peter, do you love me three times? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And when Jesus said, finally, follow thou me, Peter followed. I mean, he followed, and it was awesome. And it seems like at that point, he was off to a great start. This was somebody, one might say, who was obedient. And while it's true that people do remember how we start and how we finish, it is also true that the work in between is very important as well. This is one of the reasons we're continue. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Can I say this to you tonight, church, that we ought to continue in our calling and in our service for God. Amen? We ought to continue. If you started well and you continue well, it's more likely you're going to finish well. And 1 Peter 4:16, you might want to jot this down. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying Peter, even later on in the book of Acts, had a problem continuing. And I hate to have to say that, but it's true. He had learned some very hard lessons during his years of ministry. Think back to his lessons in life. Realize how they must have felt to Peter. I mean, they would have been jarring, sometimes humiliating. But what we do know about Peter is that this man who stuck his foot in his mouth multiple times, he seems to have done certain things that you're like, what are you thinking, Peter? But he had accepted various rebukes. He had accepted various corrections and opportunities for growth. And in God's time and way, Peter literally, Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, says he was one of the pillars of the first century church. Paul, who rebuked Peter, said that Peter was a pillar of the church. I mean, it was Peter who stood up. I'm a fan of Peter. I like to read his stories and just get disappointed when he does, you know, wrong, but get emotional for him when he humbly gets corrected, and I just want to cheer him on when I read about him. I think about Peter standing up in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, and he led in the choosing of Matthias to take the place of Judas Iscariot. I think of Peter who stood up. I love the thought of him lifting up his voice and delivering the sermon at Pentecost where 3,000 people were saved and added to the church. Can you imagine 3,000 people added to Northwest Baptist Church in one day? Say, how would we orchestrate that? Only by God's grace. That's all I can say. It was Peter who, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, brought healing to a lame man at the temple. Right? Powerful story. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have giveth thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. This man stood up and walked. It was Peter who told the rulers, I love his boldness, and we already knew he was bold, the rulers and elders and scribes and the high priest, that they had crucified Jesus, the Messiah, that Jesus was the only way of salvation, and that they would go right on proclaiming what they wanted to proclaim in Acts chapter 4. Peter spoke the word that struck the deceitful couple, Ananias and Sapphira, dead. He was that guy. It was Peter whose very shadow brought hope of healing to the sick in Acts chapter 5, verse 15. It was Peter, fresh out of jail for the crime of filling Jerusalem with the doctrine of Jesus Christ, who led the disciples to declare to the high priest and the council in Acts 5, 29, say it with me, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is Peter. It was Peter who, along with John, went on a special mission to the new believers in Samaria, Acts 8, 14 through 25. It was Peter who healed Aeneas, sick of the palsy, raised up Tabitha from the dead, and through these miracles brought many to trust in the Lord in Acts 9, verses 32 through 43. And it is evident that Peter followed Christ. Amen? It's evident that he continued to do so. And in Acts 10, we see Peter cooperating with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Lord to use him to proclaim the gospel, but not just to proclaim the gospel, but to proclaim the gospel to an unreached people who others would not go to. And in Acts chapter 10, he receives a vision from the Lord in verse 9 and a commission from the Holy Spirit. And as I'm talking about this, you can kind of scan some verses here in Acts chapter 10, because we're not going to have opportunity to read all of these verses, because this isn't the thrust of the message. This is kind of building the platform for why Genesis chapter 2 is what it is. Peter followed some emissaries to that house of Cornelius, the centurion, and Peter was clearly aware of the fact that the gospel changes lives, and he now knew the gospel was for all. And we see this in Acts 10:34. Look at it, where it states this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." We've got to get that in our heads, Christians. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. The gospel's for all who will accept and receive. But he stated that with conviction in 34, but the only reason he could state that with conviction in verse 34 is because he needed correction on his own thinking in the verses beforehand. In the verse beforehand, look at verse 10. and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, this is Peter, and a certain vessel descending upon him, and it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." These would be beasts, or these creatures would be things that that would have been refused. And so he said, "I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." We don't do this, God. We don't do this. It's kind of an illustration or a metaphor or hyperbole to God telling Peter, you can eat these things that you've been forbidden to eat. Meaning, you can go tell the gospel to people that you felt like you couldn't tell before. Okay, look at verse 15. "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven." We've got to realize tonight, Christian, as believers, we've got to realize that God is still not a respecter of persons, and the person that we ought to witness to is, in fact, every lost person we come in contact with. No, God doesn't want me to witness to that person. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Are you a Christian? Say amen. God wants you to witness the lost. Well, which ones? The lost. The lost. God just wants us to show. I want to get this straight. I already messed up blood on the wall, but you get the idea. God wants us to show the world Christ and sow the seed to the world. The work of bringing one to repentance is the job of the Holy Spirit. It's not our job, it's the job of the Holy Spirit, but we're to witness. Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." I love that song that Miss Brenda sang. Those who are saved can go in. Those who accept Christ as their Savior. But to be saved, there's got to be a submission to the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And God convicts us of sin and of our need of a Savior. You have to accept by faith. And you know, all we can do is tell them. All we can do is show them. All we can do is sow the seed of the Word of God. The farmer does his best to prepare the ground and carefully plant the seed and care for the young plants tenderly. But the farmer cannot make the sunshine, right? The farmer cannot make it rain. And in spite of all his knowledge, in spite of all his efforts, there's not going to be a harvest unless God does his part as well. And so it is in our lives as Christians who tell others about Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." And God used the power of the gospel to bring transformed lives to the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 10 again. Look at verse 44. "While Peter yet spake these words," now we're fast forwarding. Peter had this vision. In verse 34, Peter declares that, that the gospel is for the Gentiles. And verse 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished." The Jews were astonished. "As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." They were very surprised by this truth. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. That must have been an unbelievably thrilling thing for Peter to be a part of. I mean, God gave him this vision, bring the gospel to the Gentiles. He brings the gospel to the Gentiles, and then he announces to the Jews, hey, we can bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And listen, these people that you didn't think could be a part of us, we're all part of the family of God. And the Jews were astonished, and he just asked questions. Anybody got a problem with this? Because you shouldn't. And I mean, what a wonderful thing for Peter to be a part of this wonderful thing. I would say Peter followed Christ, wouldn't you? He continued. In Acts chapter 11, verse 1 through 11, or I'm sorry, verses 1 through 18, he explains some things to the Jews. Because whenever God's working, whenever God's doing something, there's going to be criticism. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be, oh, well, we don't do it that way, or we've never done it that way. If I was the one in charge, I wouldn't have chosen to be doing things that way. And there will always be those who might become contentious or those who might have some criticism in them. And it's an amazing thing that anyone would be unhappy about people moving forward for the Lord. It's an amazing thing that anybody would be unhappy about people being saved, or it's an amazing thing that anybody would be unhappy about a church having a ministry that you would say, well, I wouldn't have that ministry, but people are getting saved. And it's not, listen, I'm not justifying doing things that are anti-Bible. Okay? I'm not justifying that, but I am saying that, listen, the Bible doesn't tell us to have or not to have a bus ministry. It tells us to go lost. Right? So we're going to have a bus ministry. The Bible doesn't tell us to have or not to have Vacation Bible School. Right? Either way, it doesn't say. But guess what? We want to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So guess what we're going to have? Vacation Bible School. The Bible doesn't tell me to go or not to go with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry into the prisons on post. But guess what? We have a family in our church because we went to the prison ministry on post. Duh. It's not rocket science here, people. Now, there are things that are anti-Bible, and we need to be careful with those things, for sure. Peter had to face some silly opposition, silly criticism. And the silly criticism is the most frustrating criticism. That was the case, and sadly is still the case today. Acts chapter 11, verse 2 says that they were of the circumcision. It refers to the Jews who were upset that Peter was eating with Gentiles and sharing the gospel with them. That's sad. It's very reminiscent of what the scribes and Pharisees said while Jesus was eating with the publicans and sinners. Christ's answer is as relevant today, 2,000 years later, as it was back then. And what was Christ's answer to the status of Jesus eating with publicans and sinners? His answer was, the sinner is not limited to any one group. Mark chapter 2, verse 14 through 17 says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Opposition. Silly opposition. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none what? Righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death pass upon all men, for that all have sinned. And Peter, in our story, went on to describe how the Lord had made it clear to him that he was to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone. And the result was this in Acts 11, verse 17, look there, God was glorified. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, God gave it to them just like he gave it to us, people who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? I've tried this before. It's not a good idea for me to stand against God, Peter's saying. When they heard these sayings, they held their peace and glorified God. Praise the Lord there, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. There's that word repentance again. It is part of salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. John 3:16. For God so loved the what? World. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Good verses, amen? Great stuff. So that brings us to Galatians chapter 2. I'm not halfway through, I'm over halfway through, I promise. All right, Galatians chapter 2. Verse 12. So far, so good. Peter had been used by God to bring salvation to the Gentiles. The other apostles and the Jewish believers had heard Peter's explanation and they rejoiced in the grace of God. And then we come to our passage in Galatians 2. We don't know precisely when this incident occurred. Exactly. It could have been during the period in Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas had gone to Antioch, and actually later on they went to Antioch. But Paul and Barnabas they had been traveling back and forth, and Paul and Barnabas actually they had to travel to Jerusalem. When they traveled to Jerusalem, they had to deal with the Judaizers. The Judaizers had started a controversy. The Judaizers started to teach that Gentiles who were being saved, Gentiles had to undergo the rite of circumcision in order to be saved. Right? Everybody go, huh? Right? In Jerusalem, Peter had once again told the story of how God had sent him to the Gentiles. In Acts 15, I told you we might be in Acts 15. If you want to look there, you don't have to. But in Acts 15 and verse 7, Peter said, a good while ago, the Lord told me to go to the Gentiles. And he used his weight of influence to help James, who was the leader at that point there in Jerusalem, to basically say, don't bother the Gentiles with these things. They're getting saved, and praise God for that. After Acts 15, we read no more of Peter's actions. From this council in Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas go to Jerusalem from that council where they deal with the Judaizers and all of that stuff. They went to Antioch and they ministered there for some time. Look at Acts 15, verse 30. If you would, say your place in Galatians chapter 2. Look at Acts 15, verse 30. It says this right here. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation, and Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And evidently, during the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, you say, why are you saying all this, Pastor? It was during this time, Paul and Barnabas being in Antioch, that Peter went to pay them a visit. And he paid a visit to Paul and Barnabas, and the words are, them that were of the circumcision showed up there as well. These people that were in a nuisance before are continuing to be in a nuisance. And they're a menacing group. And Peter's there in Antioch, and Peter gave in. Just like we talked about this morning, why did Peter
when he was asked about his connection with Jesus Christ, you're one of them. No, I'm not. You're one of them. No, I'm not. Third time, you're one of them. Your speech bewrayeth thee. And Peter said, oh, you think my speech shows that I'm part of a follower of Jesus Christ? Listen to this. He starts cussing and he says, I'm not one of them. And he gave in into the timidity, the influence of other people that had led to his denial of Christ. And again, here it seems that he does the same thing. It's because it's at this point that we see Peter making a mistake. If you look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 12, Peter came to Antioch, verse 11. Paul withstood him, verse 12. For before that, certain came from James that Paul and Barnabas had already been there. For before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. See, here's the thing. Peter knew what he was supposed to do with the Gentiles, right? Acts chapter 10, he had a vision, right? Acts chapter 10, he said, God sent us to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 15, he even corrects some people. He uses influence to tell James, tell these Judaizers to stop. The Gentiles can receive the gospel. We're not under the law anymore. And here we are in Galatians chapter 2. Peter, knowing what he was supposed to do, we know that he had been doing what he was supposed to do, but now we see him being distracted by naysayers and critics. In Galatians 2:12, Paul explains what happens. We see Peter eating with the Gentiles. Undoubtedly, he was ministering to the Gentiles. But after the Jews arrived, we see five very sad words. He withdrew and separated himself. See, he did not want the Jews to see Peter with the Gentiles. It's always Satan's goal to get the believer to step away from obeying you or from obeying God. It's always Satan's goal to get you to step away from obeying God. Have you done so? Why? This is exactly what Peter did. There's a song that Howard L. and Margaret W. Brown co-authored. The words of the hymn, Follow, I Will Follow Thee. It captures what ought to be our goal as believers. Jesus calls me, I must follow. Follow him always. When my Savior goes before me, I can never stray if I'll follow him all the way. Why did Peter step away? Scripture says this, it was out of fear. Look at the words there. Fearing them which were of the circumcision. After the shame of his denial of Jesus Christ, and we talked about the sweetness of his restoration this morning. How beautiful was that, right? Jesus helping Peter to be restored back to him. And then God using Peter in so many ways in the beginning of the book of Acts to do so many different things that we rehearsed at the beginning of this message. And he's a bold witness in the book of Acts. It seems odd that Peter would now once again give into the fear of somebody else. Now, but that's what it says. It says he feared them which were of the circumcision. Because his flesh was always with him. And old habits are never very far away. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, one of the greatest lessons to be learned from the life of Peter is that people are not only watching us, but some will inevitably follow us. Look at verse 13 of Galatians chapter 2. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And it states the Jews dissembled likewise with him. What's dissemble? To conceal one's motives or to conceal one's true motives by pretense, to speak or act hypocritically.
It coincides with a Strong's dictionary, to act hypocritically. That's what dissemble is there. In other words, Peter believed one way, but acted another way. That's the essence of hypocrisy. This is the problem, and this is the crux of the message tonight. We believe certain things, but do we act another way? We have convictions about certain things. We have a stand on certain things, but do we act another way? For whatever reason, might be fear, might be our flesh, or might be something else. For example, I might believe that I ought to tell somebody about Christ, but I refuse to tell somebody about Christ. I might believe I ought to read my Bible, but I refuse to read my Bible. And these are just simple examples. We can go into more serious situations for sure. But we believe one thing and we act another. Peter believed one way, but acted another way. He believed that in Christ, the Gentiles were of equal status to the Jews. And he was right. Amen? But when the aggressive Judaizers came around, Peter turned his back on his Gentile friends as though they were somewhat inferior. That's kind of immature, isn't it? Kind of childish, actually, to behave in that way. One of the saddest facts revealed in this passage of Scripture is somebody by the name of Barnabas. Oh, I hate this part of the story. Barnabas, a man of consolation, the encourager, the mentor of Paul for a while. It says that he was caught up in this dissimulation. That word is very similar to that word dissembled, to act hypocritically. Barnabas was one of the quiet heroes of the New Testament. Gracious, genuine, giving. But in this instance, he's not perfect. He's a man just like everyone. Listen, we can point out some of Paul's faults too in the Bible. We're just not doing that today. Barnabas also headed in the wrong direction. Sometimes ask why good people are doing the wrong thing. This passage shows us that good people often do the wrong thing because they are following other good people who are doing the wrong thing. There's a lot of influencers in this world, a lot of YouTube influencers for various subject matters. There's a lot of Christian influencers, and they get a big name, and they get well known, and they almost become heroes and put up on a pedestal by many people. And some people actually will choose their church because they're heroes, or they'll choose where they go because they're heroes. And if a church doesn't support that one person, maybe they don't want to be part of that church, or they'll choose a Bible college because of a certain man, or they'll choose this because of that. And we ought to make our decisions based on the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And so, sometimes these heroes will lead in the wrong direction and then a flock of people follow them. There's an individual that had a huge following. Still does. It's just smaller now. I'm not going to name names. I know Paul named some names in the Bible, but there was a purpose behind it. He named the name of Demas to a church in a specific situation, and the reason he did that was because it was important for them to hear that name. But there's a certain follower or a certain person who had a bunch of followers. And my opinion is this person was teaching a lot of wrong, false doctrine. I don't support him. But then this person had a big family mess, and his family members were speaking out against him and revealing some things, and all of a sudden, a lot of people were disappointed. There's another individual who got in some sexual sin as a pastor and thousands of followers. And the church, which was thousands of people, just fell apart. Today, praise the Lord, the church is doing pretty well. They have a new pastor. He's a humble man. It's important for believers to realize that there are those who are coming after us, though. Even though we shouldn't put people on a pedestal, and even though we got to be careful about things like that, there are those who are coming after you and coming after me who are watching and, in some cases, even following us. Isn't that true? That's why it's critical that we allow God to guide our steps
Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, guide thee with mine eye. All right, back to our story here. In this passage, we see Paul in Galatians chapter 2 reprimanding Peter for bowing to peer pressure rather than standing for principle. Galatians 2:14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We'll read that one more time. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews. You've been preaching this for so long, Peter. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Paul rebuked him. And the Bible says that he withstood him to the face. One of the greatest lessons of this correction is Paul didn't gossip about Peter. He withstood him to the face, spoke to him personally. For Paul to have spoken critically about Peter to others would have been just as bad as what Peter had done. And many passages in the Bible address this. I'll give you some references. Proverbs 6, Ephesians 4, 29, Titus 3, 2, James 3, verses 2 through 10. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Another lesson we see here is that there was open rebuke. In fact, that's what the Bible says. Paul used this as a teaching moment. He didn't just talk to Peter personally, but he spoke openly before the other believers that had also gone astray with Peter. Certainly there's times where corrections should be open. I would say that the majority of the time we need to be careful, we need to be private. But then there's going to be times where it's done publicly so others can hear it and learn from it. In this case, that is what happened. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:20, if you want a verse that supports that, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Proverbs 27, verse 5 through 6. This is big. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If it's a personal grievance, Jesus told us what to do. Do you guys remember Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, where he said, if your brother trespass against thee, go to him, right? Tell his fault between thee and him alone. If he listens, you've gained a brother. Praise God, right? But if he won't hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. This is the Bible. And verse 17 says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Rarely ever have I seen it get that far. Because typically, if you have a brother in Christ who wants to serve God and you want to serve God and you address each other with the situation, there's restoration. We've got to have a proper attitude. In fact, Galatians chapter 6, just four chapters after our text, Galatians chapter 6 says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The goal is always restoration. Amen? And Paul's rebuke to Peter in verse 14 of our text, he said to Peter, that if he were going to live like the Gentiles, Peter, if you're going to live like the Gentiles, no longer following the law, if you're going to live like the Gentiles, why are you trying to get the Gentiles to follow the law? And he was distracted. Peter was distracted from the primary goal that God had given him in Acts chapter 10. And he needed to stick with the simple gospel of grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Will you say it with me? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Peter just needed a reminder. Because he believed right. He was just acting wrong. And Peter's response. You say, well, what was Peter's response? It doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us. Proverbs 1, 5 says this. A wise man will hear. He's teachable. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner. Don't waste your time with a scorner is what he's saying. Because they just scorn. What's a scorner going to do if you reprove a scorner? They're going to scorn. Lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, though, and he will love thee. Proverbs 12:1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. Proverbs 15:12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. So we don't actually know what Peter's immediate response to Paul's rebuke was. Paul doesn't record anything about this in Galatians. And as I already mentioned, the further activities of Peter after Acts chapter 15 are not recorded for us, not even mentioned in the book of Acts. But we talked about Peter this morning. We know the story of Peter, and we've seen that however hard-headed Peter may have been, he seems to, at some point, always have accepted the Lord's rebukes to him and corrections, and he remained special to Jesus all along, and Jesus prophesied that Peter would die a martyr's death, which tells us that he stayed faithful to Jesus Christ. And whatever his first reaction here might have been, we don't know. I do know that Peter did not remain offended or bitter, if he was offended and bitter at first. We don't even know that he was. But if he was, he didn't remain that way. How do you know that? Well, I just mentioned that about his martyrdom, but Peter would write some books called 1st and 2nd Peter. Kind of original names, right? We learn that although he was corrected and reprimanded publicly by Paul, Peter still loved Paul. Peter still respected Paul. And in 2 Peter 3:15, he referred to Paul as our beloved brother Paul. So I think that Paul gained a brother. It'd be a wonderful thing for believers today to show love toward others who correct them. It's hard to do, right? It'd be a wonderful thing if we would show love towards others who love us and correct us. Knowing corrections are intended for our good and our Christian growth. You've heard the expression, don't shoot the mailman, right? Don't shoot the mailman just because he brought you a bill. It's not his fault. Don't shoot the mechanic because, you know, you ran your car out of oil. If your doctor tells you of a serious medical condition, you'd be wise to be grateful that he told you. But when it comes to accepting personal correction, we sometimes let our pride get the better of us. We're tempted to resent the advice, and we're tempted to resent the person who brings it. And Paul would say, be you followers of me as I also am of Christ. There's going to be times when we're in need of correction. We have to seek to heed instruction, allow it to help us. We have to be thankful for people and circumstances that God places in our lives to shape us and to grow us. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And from Peter we see Satan continued to attack this man. In the same strategy, he'd speak out for Christ and then he'd be drawn away. He spoke out for Christ before he denied Christ and then he denied Christ. He spoke out for Christ in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 15 and then he messed up. It ought to be our goal to continue to speak up and stand up for the Savior. Continually live a life that is pleasing to him.